This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news, the deep state unraveling.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, there's a lot of developments that took place over the weekend. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The reason I say deep state unraveling, here's what you've got, which is quite an irony of events. You had the lead investigator on the special counsel's probe into Russia meddling with U.S. elections, Peter Storsik, was the supervising agent also in the Clinton email investigation and the chief of FBI counterespionage. Evidently, he started an email chain or tweets where he was critical of the president while he was the investigator. Storsik was also engaged in the various texts with a lawyer named Lisa Page, who was also an FBI lawyer, who he was having an affair with. So the investigator was having an affair, allegedly, with the Department of Justice lawyer, who was at that point temporarily assigned to Bob Mueller's shop. She left 2 weeks before the alleged anti-Trump texts were uncovered. NBC has not confirmed the exact contents, although it was significant enough that Peter Storsik was removed, and he was a veteran counterintelligence agent and reassigned to the Justice Department's Human Resources Office. Now, this is the person that's supposed to be in charge of the investigation from a investigatory standpoint. Yep. So this raises, the reason I say unraveling, my goodness, you cannot make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And he was also in charge of the FBI's investigation to guess who? Hillary Clinton, who I guess he preferred over President Trump, because we don't hear anything about him being removed from that investigation because he sent tweets nasty about Hillary Clinton. No, he gets removed from the special counsel's team from the investigation into Russia because he was sending text messages to colleagues and people outside the investigation disparaging about the president of the United States. And this is the lead FBI investigator on the case. At the same time, he's having an affair with someone who is in the special counsel's legal team.
Not just someone, a lawyer.
A lawyer, yeah.
A lawyer in the legal team.
So the FBI guy saying nasty stuff about Trump in text is having an affair with one of the lawyers for the special counsel. This, again, it just sheds a lot of light on, we put the special counsel and Mueller's team, they kind of put them up on a pedestal. This is what, when we talk about the FBI being in shambles and a lot of trouble there and reforms being made, because these are FBI agents at the end of the day. They're just reassigned. They're DOJ lawyers. They're just being reassigned
to the special counsel. Right.
There are serious problems in our law enforcement agencies.
Well, and when we come back from the break, we're going to give you, we've started getting document requests or responses to our FOIA lawsuit that we have against the FBI. And included in that, believe it or not, are emails from one Peter Storsik to the Department of Justice, to the FBI, ultimately going to guess who? James Comey. About what? The Clinton-Lynch tarmac meeting. Marked urgent. High priority. So now you've got the lawyer and the agents that were working on the Clinton investigation were also the ones assigned to the investigation on the Russia probe with Bob Mueller, who are reassigned off the case because of inappropriate text messaging about the president to, I guess, colleagues of theirs, or apparently to this Lisa Page, who also happened to be a lawyer at the Department of Justice. Look, it's and then the denials that were made by the Department of Justice and the FBI. Remember when James Comey made the statement that he didn't make his decision about this because of on Hillary Clinton until later because of the reason. What was the reason? Well, it was the inappropriateness of that meeting on the tarmac. We've got a lot more on that when we come back from the break. So we're going to take your phone calls. We're going to take your comments. Our phone lines are open.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments on social media, Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow or at Jay Sekulow on Twitter. But once again, phone lines are available right now, 1-800-684-3110.
And don't forget our matching challenge campaign also. We're first week of the month. We could use your help. Any amount you donate, December's biggest month of the year, aclj.org. You donate $20, we get $40, aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Litigation going on between the American Center for Law and Justice against the Justice Department on the issue of the tarmac meeting between Lynch and Comey, and President Clinton. People are saying, well, that's now a long time ago. Does it really matter? Well, it really matters today because the lead investigator on the matter involving the Clinton-Lynch tarmac meeting was one Peter Storsik. Excuse me. He was the senior supervising agent in the Clinton email investigation and the chief of FBI counterespionage. He was also the lead investigator on the Robert Mueller investigation as to Russia meddling with the election. Peter Storsik is no longer on that case because of documents that he'd sent out that were problematic enough that Bob Mueller terminated him in July. And, of course, that comes after they started their investigation. He also was in communication, this Peter Storsik, with an FBI, a DOJ lawyer who was assigned to the special counsel's office, Elisa Page. They were having an affair of that was, I guess, not reported at the time, and she's been removed. These are the people that were in charge of the investigation of the Russia meddling, and they're also the ones that were in charge with the Clinton email situation. We filed a lawsuit, and as you recall, the government was hesitant to give us documents. We went back into court and got some additional production. By the way, we're going back in. But one of the productions actually is from this Peter Storsik, the agent that's been removed from the Russia probe because of his negative statements against the president. He sent an email within 8 minutes of the information hitting DOJ about the tarmac meeting. That went to people within the FBI, and within 8 minutes, it reached the James Comey, James Rebicki. James Comey, of course, was the then FBI director, and James Rebicki was the chief of staff to James Comey. They got it. It was marked urgent and high. We still don't have the redacted pages that were what the talking points were. We know they ended up being talking points that they put forward, which was nonsense, which was talking points about that this was really about golf and grandchildren, and no one's believing any. You can't believe any of this now in light of all this. And then you have the agent that was in charge of both of these has now been removed from the Mueller probe because of these documents that went back and forth. So there's some serious legal issues here and conflicts of interest.
Yeah, this is what we found, and it's in our blog that we posted this morning. We posted a short blog last week saying we were going to go through the information, but we posted a blog today, and it actually is linked to the PDF of all the documents sent by the FBI, so you can see that at aclj.org. But there's four items that we've identified in these initial 29 documents provided by the FBI. First, an email under the subject line, Bill Clinton meeting, dated June 28th, 2016, just minutes after the DOJ spin team began taking action to respond to the media firestorm surrounding the Clinton-Lynch meeting. Senior DOJ officials first informed the FBI of the DOJ's attempts to deal with this situation, that's in quotes. To be more precise, the AG's office was communicating directly with FBI officials about the matter 8 minutes after DOJ received the first inquiry about the clandestine meeting. Importantly, this email should have been but was not included in the Department of Justice production of responsive documents on this topic months ago to the ACLJ. When they provided over 400 pages of documents, they left that document out. This means that just like the FBI, the DOJ also lied and withheld key documents about the meeting from us in clear violation of FOIA. That's just the first thing of 20 and found in 29 pages. Second, the FBI documents reveal that the then FBI director Comey, as you said, was aware of and circulated to his senior staff, including his chief of staff and senior counselor, to the director Jim Rybicki, FBI deputy director Andrew McCabe, who's still at the FBI, the assistant director of public affairs for the FBI Michael Corton, and another associate director David Bowditch. A news article regarding the Clinton-Lynch meeting under the cryptic subject line FYI only, the email dated June 29, 2016, 2 days after the meeting with no commentary. Remember, that is the email that was forwarded along through Peter Sorsak, who was removed from the special counsel's team ultimately because he was sending text messages to people degrading to President Trump, nasty about President Trump.
Okay, but here's the interesting thing about that. They were actually sent to people that were also involved in the investigation. So it was to the lawyer that he was having a relationship with that was also assigned to the Department of Justice Special Counsel's office. So it was assigned also to Bob Mueller's office. So all of this is happening simultaneously. So now they've been removed. We're in federal court actually filing a motion for judgment today, summary judgment today, demanding that redacted document because the one thing they refused to give the Department of Justice is what they had lots that we know the talking points became one paragraph, but the document itself was that they sent us was page after page after page of redacted documents. So obviously there was more to it than that.
And then what's interesting as well is that, you know, Jim Comey made a big deal about how this meeting really was the impetus for the decision he made that was so outside the scope and outside the normal rules and procedures of the FBI in handling an investigation and then turning that over to the DOJ for decisions to prosecute or bring charges or not. And yet in these documents delivered to us from the FBI, they show that they were far from being concerned about the actual meeting itself.
Right.
No concern about Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch days before the FBI was set to interview Hillary Clinton, the lead target of their investigation, or if you want to call it matter. They weren't even concerned about that. What they were concerned about was this becoming a story because someone on Loretta Lynch's security detail was talking to the press anonymously about how this meeting happened, and it appears that it was Bill Clinton who stayed on the tarmac longer when he found out Loretta Lynch would be there and just walked right across the tarmac onto Loretta Lynch's plane. So again, it even shows that the FBI was not substantively concerned about how this kind of meeting would impact their investigation, even though ultimately the head of the FBI said he made his final decisions on not to prosecute and to announce all of that based off this meeting.
Yeah.
And that was the main reason. You would think there'd be some indication that they even cared about this. No, they just didn't want this to be in the public.
All right, let's go ahead and take phone lines are open at 800-684-3110. We got calls and comments coming in, so let's do both.
All right, let's go to Judy in St. Louis, Missouri. First, Judy, you're on the air.
Hi, Judy, go ahead.
Hi. My question is, it's good to have all this information. What can we do as citizens?
Well, we are doing it. So what we're doing is we're in federal court right now to get the information. Once we have the information, you then analyze the information. And if there's been violations of protocols within the Department of Justice or within the rules and regulations governing the Department of Justice, you raise those with the agencies and with Congress. Remember, Congress is right now looking at the possibility of contempt sanctions against the Department of Justice for not turning over documents to them. But this takes it to a whole different level. And I think what we have to be clear here is that the agent that was the Clinton agent, in other words, the agent that was in charge of the Clinton probe, was also the agent that was in charge of the Mueller probe as it relates to Russian interference. Same agent, but he's been removed. He was removed, it looks like, towards the end of July because of emails or text messaging regarding the president that he sent to an FBI, a DOJ lawyer who was also tasked to Bob Mueller's team. So this raises a whole host of legal issues. I mean, of not only conflict of interest, but what was done during the investigation at that stage, how's that been remedied? Now, then you have the whole issue of what we're dealing with, which is what was actually in those redacted documents? In other words, what was the redacted base of those redacted documents? And we're looking at that, and that's going to require us to go back to court for more information.
We already are actually back in court today. Today, as we speak, we're filing with the DOJ because, as I mentioned, there was a document here that the FBI referenced that was not it, that was a DOJ document that was not in the documents the DOJ produced to us back in August, those over 400 pages. They left that one out. So, again, we're in court to get that. We're still in court fighting some of these redactions as well on these talking points and other matters. But, again, I think what is most shocking to me, Dad, is that even though I expected to get it maybe in redacted form, but somewhere noted on some of these documents that there was actual concern at the FBI leadership that this meeting even occurred.
Yeah.
And we have nothing
about that. No evidence to show that
we
there
have
was.
No documents or attachments that showed how this would impact negatively their investigation, was really troubling. And yet their director, Director Comey at the time, he felt like, you know, he could really utilize this to his own benefit to take control and shut the whole investigation and the decision on whether or not to prosecute or not based off this meeting, he said, which is, again, there's no evidence to prove that he was thinking that way.
The other issue, of course, that evidence isn't there, as you said, Jordan, but there's another issue, and that is these were the senior investigators. Now, looking at both the Clinton email situation and the Russian interference, the alleged Russian interference, and this was the counterintelligence. This is a senior guy at the FBI who's now out and assigned to human resources. But here's the question I ask. What did he do during the months he was there? And what is the value of that work product? And how is that being cabined off? Or are they cabbing it off? There's a whole host of legal issues being raised by this. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, Logan. We'll take more and more comments, more calls and more comments.
That's right. Phone lines are open right now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice heard. You can also get your comments in on social media, on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter at JSecu.
And don't forget our matching challenge campaign. You could do that at ACLJ.org. Back with more.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Well, there's a lot to cover because the information is just coming in. But let me also say at the outset here, for those that are just joining us, we have litigation with the FBI and Department of Justice on the tarmac meeting with Hillary Clinton and President Bill Clinton, former president, and Loretta Lynch. And people are saying, well, that was a long time ago now. And yeah, true, it is. It's been over a year now. But here's the interesting dynamic. That's why you continue to pursue these cases. The agent in charge of that investigation was a guy named Peter Storsik. He also happens to be the agent that was tasked with, because he was the leading counterintelligence agent, was tasked with putting the investigation together on the investigatory side for Bob Mueller. He was the agent in charge, basically. He got removed at the end of July. This story broke over the weekend because of the statements that he made to a colleague who was also a Department of Justice lawyer tasked to Bob Mueller's office, who was working on the case, that said inappropriate things, according to this email. And they were having a top to top all that off. They were engaged in allegedly some kind of extramarital affair. And that created enough problems for Bob Mueller that he's removed both of them. The question that I ask is then, what happened during those months they were there? And what's the scope and nature of that investigation? And has that been cabined off or has that been assigned? I don't know. And I don't know the answer to that. But it just raises the issue. And this was the. And then on top of that, we now have in our FOIA case the response, which shows that when the Clinton-Lynch tarmac meeting took place, it went right to DOJ officials within minutes, including James Comey. So, I mean, all of this has got a taint to it that is pretty overwhelming. And I think what we're trying to do for you today is just kind of lay out the evidence as to where this is and where it's logically going. Now, this also comes on the heels of, they had General Flynn's plea on Friday and how all that played out. And then you have the situations where news reports came out from ABC News that were inaccurate, and they later retracted them and put the reporter on 4 weeks leave of absence. I mean, there's a lot going on here. So what we're going to try to consistently do with all of this is just give you the facts as we know those facts and understand the implications of that. So that's how we're approaching what is a changing by the moment scenario right now.
We've got an update, too, on what's happening with taxes. And Than Bennett, our ACLJ Director of Government Affairs, will get back into that more again tomorrow on the broadcast. As you know, the Senate got through the tax package by one vote, then they didn't have to use Vice President Pence to get to 51 votes. They only lost one Republican. It happened to be Bob Corker. So what happens this week? Well, there's a motion to go to the conference between the House and the Senate on the tax bill tonight. So they will pass that motion tonight and go start the conference process. They're also looking at a continuing resolution to avoid the government shutdown by Friday. Other items like DACA and the Obamacare subsidies will be used as leverage in those negotiations to keep the government from shutting down at the end of this week. And then it looks like there will be some sort of final resolution on the tax bill, either a conference report or that the House and Senate then re-vote on, or the Senate bill just being voted directly on by the House. This doesn't have to be this week, but certainly before they leave for Christmas, which is the 15th, is scheduled for right now. So a lot of action on taxes.
Yeah, our government affairs team working on that.
And we know that the House, we had a couple members of Congress on Friday and a couple on Thursday as well. We know that those House members want this first attempt at the conference. They do not want to just immediately take up what the Senate did. But I think ultimately if they had to get tax reform done, they would take the Senate plan and pass it in full. So we will know about that, I think, by the end of this week, what exactly the plan is that is going to get voted on fully and get to the president's desk.
Yeah, I think tax reform is going to happen. And that
huge
will be a major
for the American people.
Yeah, it is. And let's go ahead and go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you want to pull a comment or do you want to take a call?
A lot of people are asking this. Jay, you just kind of answered, you can say this from Karen. Do you think we will see justice in this matter?
I do. But justice is not quick. Okay, so it's kind of like that IRS case. It took 3 years to get justice. And here, one of the interesting aspects of this, Jordan was just talking about it, is the facts and the nuances of the changes on this are so rapid fire with this investigation that's ongoing, with the conflicts of interest that now even Bob Mueller obviously became aware of and took action on. But again, I don't know what took place before that period of time when they took action. This was the lead investigator, one of the lead attorneys. What happened before? So was this a situation where there was 2 months worth of investigation that went on and they're going to start it over? Or is it 2 months of investigation and they're going to cabin it off? I don't know. But this was also the same guy that was the Clinton investigator. And now we know that emails that he originated, Peter Stoercik, ended up at James Comey's office. So there's just a lot there. I mean, you got a lot in play right there. And I think you got to be cognizant of the fact of what we're dealing with. The moving facts. You had, the Flynn plea on Friday, which was a plea to lying to FBI agents, which was the same thing that George Papadopoulos ended up pleading to, and that was making a false statement to an agent. So that has been kind of put to rest. That's done. And it just begs the question of where was these investigators during the early stages of this when they were first retained, and what impact did that have on any of this? And I just don't think we know the answer to that yet. I mean, we don't know the answer to that yet. But obviously it was a serious enough problem for Bob Mueller to take action. The question was that action enough? What does that action actually mean? So that's some of the questions that have to be answered. Yep. So when I say, will justice come? Yes, but it doesn't come quickly.
All right. Go ahead and take another call.
Yeah.
Let's go to Christiana in Minnesota on line 6, or line 5.
Christiana, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Fascinating listening to you guys. I've just got a couple of questions. Number one, do you guys think Donald Trump didn't go ahead and immediately open some kind of an investigation into all of the affairs, and no pun intended, regarding the Clintons and Comey at all?
Well, that's the job of the Justice Department. I don't know what's being investigated and what's not being investigated. There's been allegations that there are investigations going on.
The Inspector General has got a report going on Comey. It's not done yet. That, and as Attorney General Sessions made clear, the Inspector General doesn't have the same restraints as the normal DOJ inspectors would do. And so when they conduct an investigation, you don't know about it. When the Inspector General does, we know about it. It's been confirmed, and he should be done sometime in the spring. That's now very soon. That Inspector General's report can be made public and will then, I think, that will lead to, does the Department of Justice on its own open up an investigation and look at individuals to potential criminal activity? So they're going to wait on that Inspector General's report that we'll all be able to read and see what the Inspector General concludes. That doesn't have to mean that they have to do what the Inspector General says, or they could do something different, but that is coming. So I think that should be made clear to everybody, is that there is an ongoing DOJ investigation via the Inspector General's office of how Jim Comey handled the entire Clinton investigation up until the point he made the statement about that, you know, all the wrongdoing, but no prosecution. So there is an investigation of that.
And there is and of course, there's another issue to that, is that he granted immunity to witnesses that he never interviewed before he drafted that first draft of the declination letter. So that was already put in play. Yeah. So a lot of this just is not the way in a normative situation it would go forward. It's just not. All right, Logan, will you let everybody know we're here for another 30 minutes? Let everybody
know
what
you do. If you don't get us on your local station, you should change that. You can find us broadcasting live online, aclj.org. Get comments in on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/jsaculo, Periscope and Twitter @jsaculo. You can also find us later on archived on the J Secular Life podcast, available on iTunes, and download the ACLJ app. Just search ACLJ in the App Store, and you'll find it. You can find it for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also in the Roku channel marketplace. Got one line available right now if you want your voice heard, 1-800-684-3110. But again, a second half hour J Secular Life continues right after this.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, let me give you an update on something. So the American Center for Law and Justice, we've got a lawsuit against the FBI over their failure to turn over documents related to the Clinton tarmac meeting that took place in June of 2016. Why this is now really important is that the agent in charge of that investigation was one Peter Sorsic. Peter Sorsic was also assigned, he's a leading counterintelligence FBI agent, was assigned to the Mueller team for the investigation of Russia meddling in the election. I mean, they love calling it collusion when there's no, as I've said numerous times over the last couple of days, the crime of collusion doesn't exist. You got to point to a statute that something's violating. Nevertheless, he was the agent in charge. So here's what you have. He was the agent in charge, has now been removed from the case. So he was on the Clinton case and on the Bob Mueller team because of documents that he tweeted or texted to another member of the team, a lawyer, Lisa Page, with the Department of Justice, who was assigned to Bob Mueller's team against the president. And so Bob Mueller took action at that point, apparently to remove them from the team. And Storsic's been assigned to Human Resources. I don't know where the lawyer Lisa Page has gone. I say all of that because we also have FOIA requests out where we have documents from Storsic all the way up, being led all the way up to James Comey on the tarmac meeting. And I ask yourself, and this is where I'm trying to get you kind of an understanding of the facts, because these facts are moving very quickly. So I don't know the nature and scope of what Storsic did during the time he was there, but that's obviously a question. Then you had a report that came out on ABC News over the weekend, on Friday, on the General Flynn issue, where Brian Ross alleged that the president authorized, according to Brian Ross, Michael Flynn, General Flynn, to contact the Russians.
Instructed
during the campaign. Well, then they had to correct that because their source actually said, well, that's not what we said. We said it was during the transition, which again was a huge differential, both atmospherically, legally. There's arguments that's legally significant as well. But the point is, ABC had to then retract the story, which Logan and I watched.
The retraction.
Yeah, and will you explain that to people? You did not know this in great detail.
Yeah, if you would have no idea what I'm talking about. They did a retraction that was probably about 45 seconds long that never mentioned the case, never mentioned the story, never mentioned anything in detail other than we said some wrong stuff, we retracted what we said, what that says, what we said, we don't really go into. I mean, they legit don't say anything about what even the topic of conversation is. Just something that Brian said day before was wrong. Sorry.
So he gets suspended for 4 weeks. Now, here's the problem. This is why on this broadcast we're able to come to you every day and kind of give you the facts of where they are. And when we don't know a fact, we're going to tell you that. And we don't know an issue, we're going to tell you that. Now, I don't know what, for instance, and Jordan, this is the thing we don't know right now, is what investigative resources were utilized by Peter Storsic, endless lawyer, when they were on the case, and where that is in this investigation. We don't know that yet.
Well, what we do know is that Peter Storsic was the lead FBI on the Hillary Clinton matter. And obviously he had animosity towards whether it's Republicans, conservatives, or just President Trump in general. He probably did not have that same animosity towards the liberal, towards Hillary Clinton. So again, was that investigation where he was the lead FBI investigator handled improperly, as many of us believe, as the Inspector General is now looking into at the Department of Justice? Was it being handled improperly because you had a partisan FBI agent who was leading up the investigation there, who now has been removed from the special counsel's team because he was exposed as a partisan who had not only negative beliefs, but was expressing his negative beliefs about the president of the United States that he's supposed to be impartially investigating this matter, which could involve the president of the United States and certainly involves the president of the United States, people associated with him. And he's sending nasty text about the president of the United States. And we're supposed to think that these officials are so great and so grand and that they're on pedestals. They are not. And it's why the American people have said the FBI and DOJ need total transformation.
And that's also why we're in federal court to get to the answer of this. And your support of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org allows us to do that. We're in our December match and challenge, the biggest month of the year. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference at ACLJ.org. And Logan, we'll take more calls and comments when we come back.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Also, exclusive videos coming up right here in the break if you're watching online.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Right now is on former supervising agent in the Clinton email investigation and chief of FBI counterespionage, Peter Storzik. He was also put on the Mueller team. He was removed after he sent some text messages to a lawyer on the team who's also been removed that were negative to the president. And these were done by the investigators. What we don't know is what was done before they were removed. What's happened with that aspect of the investigation? In other words, information that they obtained. And we don't know that yet. That's number one. Number two, we do know that through our Freedom of Information Act litigation, that in fact Storzik sent up an email about the Clinton tarmac meeting that ultimately within minutes, like 8 minutes, reached James Comey. So there you have it. Catherine Herridge, from our friend from Fox News, was talking about this on air. This is what she said.
According to a lengthy New York Times profile on FBI Director James Comey just 2 weeks before he was fired, a profile done with the full cooperation of the FBI media office, this FBI agent Strzok was central to discussions about intent and whether to prosecute Clinton under the gross negligence statute, though intent is not required. He was also a key player in drafting of the July statement by Director Comey that recommended against criminal charges, now referred to as the exoneration statement.
So if Catherine Herridge's, whose sources are always good, is correct, Agent Stork really got himself into a very difficult situation, primarily with the special counsel's office. And again, I don't know where that ends up, but obviously it's a big enough issue that we're concerned about it. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, taking your comments as well. As Jordan said, Tax Act passed through the Senate. They got to do reconciliation. We'll have more on that tomorrow. Let's go ahead and take some calls or comments. We've got some people that have been holding.
Yeah, let's go to Dave in New York on line one. You're on the air, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I wanted to say thank God for organizations like Judicial Watch and those people out there fighting for the truth to come out. If we don't see charges brought against certain people in the Justice Department, certain people in the FBI, certain people in the deep state, we've lost our government for good.
So we've got, as you know, we've been talking about, we have federal litigation right now in court where we are sued the FBI and DOJ on this very issue. We have gotten some documents that we requested, and like the litigation that Judicial Watch is engaged in, you don't get everything you want, so you got to go back. And as Jordan's going to report, we're going back actually today. Because while we do now have, and I will put them up on the screen, emails from this agent who was both on the Clinton case and on the Bob Mueller case, where he has documents going from him at 5:36 to the then sent another set went from the person he sent it to at 5:38 up to the Department of Justice, to James Comey, to the FBI actually at 6:10. So literally within, you know, 30 minutes, this agent had his information sent to James Comey on that tarmac meeting. We don't have, it's still been redacted, the information that we want on what actually transpired at that meeting. So we're back in federal court on that today.
And let me just remind folks that our role in this is the civil role. It's getting the information to you. It's providing the information to the public. It's, again, it's assisting, in a sense, Congress in their investigations. But only one agency can bring charges against people, and we can't prosecute anyone. Judicial Watch can't prosecute anyone. The executive branch can prosecute through the Department of Justice after an FBI investigation. So it's ultimately up to whether, in this case, it would be Jeff Sessions and prosecutors there. It would be up to the Department of Justice to bring charges against people amongst any of these investigations that you've referenced in your call, whether it's the Clinton matter, whether it's the special counsel matter and the people being removed. That will all be made later on, these decisions, by the Department of Justice and their prosecutors. If federal crimes have been committed, they are they are who is responsible for prosecuting people. Groups like us can only handle the civil matter, get the information, and of course fight in court for the constitutional issues in play.
Right, and there are very significant constitutional issues, as you can imagine, in play here. All right, Logan, let's either take a call or a comment. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
A lot of people commenting just for their support of the ACLJ. We appreciate that today, especially in the holiday season. So, Jay, this is from Dixie. What can be done? What is the solution?
So here's what we have to do. We really do need to see what was in that redacted tarmac discussion. In other words, what the talking points that they developed, what they actually said, and to find out if those match what was actually given. And I suspect they did not, just from the size of the file. I mean, it was a one-paragraph ultimate statement, but there was something leading up to that. And now you've got the connection with both James Comey and Peter Storsing. And that problem, and I think that issue, is he was the investigator on, lead investigator on the Mueller probe. So there's just too much at play here. And what we have to do is sort through all this and then raise that in the appropriate venues, and that's what you do. There's an appropriate way to raise these issues in an appropriate venue, and that's what we're going to do. And that's the job. But first, you got to get the facts, and the getting to that fact is always job one. All right, we're taking calls, 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. I'll take a call or a comment. Logan, what do you want to take?
Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania, line 3. You're
hey,
on the air, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
First of all, thanks for all you do.
Thanks.
I have a comment that leads me to a question. So based on what I'm hearing from you today, it sounds like there's contamination and corruption and collusion and obstruction at many levels within our government, especially the FBI and the Department of Justice. So, and I believe what you're telling me is the truth. So if that's true, why are we not hearing more about this in the mainstream media? Why are the American people not being informed and educated about this as you are right now?
Well, the mainstream media took a pretty big hit this weekend, and that was because ABC News had to redact, or I guess the proper term is retract, a statement they made where they said that the president had, they alleged that the president, who was then a candidate, who was not the president-elect, instructed General Flynn to contact the Russians regarding relationship with the Russians going forward. Ends up that that piece comes out live. Brian Ross breaks that live on ABC News. 6 hours later, they said, well, that was a mistake, because the source they had said, I never said that the president, when he was a candidate, made that statement. That was when he was the president-elect during the transition. Of course, you have a whole body of law on presidential transitions. So there was a huge difference, and they retracted it. But Logan, as Logan said, I'll let Jordan respond to this in a moment, but as Logan said, I had him watch the retraction with me on Saturday night. And if you did not, even if you did know what the topic was, there was no way to figure out what they retracted.
No.
It was non-existent.
Yeah, usually you see, and if say a newspaper does it, it's like, here's what we retract, here's the specifics and the details, we apologize. Sometimes they'll try to hide it, definitely in the bottom, but it's there. It's pretty clear. It's in print. This one, they don't mention the president. They don't mention anything to do with the topic. They don't even mention our topic.
They do not mention
the topic. They just mention something we said was wrong. We apologize. Sorry. We've corrected it.
Yeah. And so the media is none of this is getting into their narrative. Now, the Washington Post and Wall Street Journal, New York Times did run stories about Peter Storsing.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they had to.
because they had to. And then Brian Ross ultimately being suspended from ABC News, their lead investigative reporter. So these statements and retractions and whatever, obviously they realized, as you all were watching, this was not enough, that they would have to do more and take more action. But again, he wasn't fired. And he's still, I guess, you know, he's been on leave without pay. But who would trust him coming back and reporting anything on this matter? His sources obviously are incorrect, or whatever's coming out of his mouth is incorrect. One of the two. And then second,
but
I think on the FBI matter, it is huge news that the team personally assembled by Bob Mueller has got people now being fired from it because of their either their texting outsiders about President Trump and attacking President Trump when they are leading an investigation that may involve the President of the United States. And then second, you've got another lawyer gone who was having an affair with that person. I mean, talking about a mess within a pretty newly created, specially chosen, we're told that these are the best of the best, the top of the top. Well, if this is the case, then the DOJ and the FBI are in a sorry state right now.
I think that's right. I think that what we have is this. We have a situation where what we have to realize is this is facts unfolding. And as we press this in court through these FOIA cases and the litigation, you get facts. And those facts lead to other facts. And that's where you start finding this stuff out. So what do we know? We know that that agent's gone. We know that the lawyer that was also with Mueller had been removed. We know that that same agent that is gone was also the agent on the Hillary Clinton matter. We also know that that agent who was gone that was on the Hillary Clinton matter also sent a chain of emails up about the tarmac meeting that ultimately reached James Comey, who wrote his declination letter 3 months before interviewing his witnesses. And you tell me if that's justice. But it takes us getting that information to then put the plan together on how to respond. We're doing that at the ACLJ as we speak. We are in federal court today on a motion to compel more document disclosure in Washington, D.C., fighting it out today in federal court. All right, we come back. Last segment of the broadcast. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
That's right. We will be right back again on ACLJ.org. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. A few lines open, so this is a great time to call as we head into the final segment of the show. You can give us a call and have your voice heard. You can also find us broadcasting, like I said, on social media and on our website. Make sure you download the ACLJ app. But again, 1-800-684-3110. We try to take as many calls as possible in our final segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We had teased this out Friday. We knew we had received the documents from the FBI. Did an interview with Fox News about it. But unlike last time, we wanted to really go through them document by document and kind of piece together what was in these 29 pages, what we thought we needed to file additional lawsuits on, make additional requests about, and then provide that to you in a really complete form as we've done today. And that's posted at aclj.org. So you can, it's a lot of information we've gone through today. You can read all about it at aclj.org, and you can actually click on the link to see the documents, how they're provided to us. So you'll see how our attorneys have to go through these documents and the redactions that are made to make this all fit together. And one thing we did learn is that the Department of Justice, in their major document dumped to us of over 400 pages, left out another document that the FBI references about this very Clinton-Lynch tarmac meeting. And remember, it was the FBI originally said that we have no documents, then produced these 29 documents leading to and including discussions and emails going all the way up to the head of the FBI at the time, Jim Comey. So we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot happening on tax reform as well. Than Bennett's going to get into that for you tomorrow on the broadcast, but I will let you know that the conference is set to begin tonight between the House and Senate on bringing together their two pieces of legislation.
All right, let's continue on. Let's start off. Dave in New Jersey on line four. You're on the air, Dave.
Hey, Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
I was watching the news the other night when the tax reform bill passed. And our delightful Senator Cory Booker said he would do everything in his power to block it. How can he even legally do that? And my second question is concerning these allegations that many Republicans didn't even read their own tax bill. Is there any merit to that? And how are New Jerseyans going to suffer from our Senator
Republican? I'm going to let Jordan, we're going to have a full, first of all, understand, it's passed in the House, it's passed at the Senate, it's not the same bill. So they have to do a reconciliation process. So your question, Dave, is a great question, some of which we just can't answer because we don't know where the reconciliation is going. Yeah. Now, Fan will have a better idea of that tomorrow.
Yeah, Cory Booker couldn't stop it because there were enough Republican votes and Republicans in the Senate to pass the bill. So though no Democrats voted for it, only one Republican did not. So there were 51 votes. The vice president could have cast that 51st vote if necessary. It wasn't. So there were 51 votes for this Senate tax reform in the U.S. Senate. No Democrats supported it. Cory Booker, if this goes back through conference and they've got to vote again, I mean, he can vote no again. He can try to convince some Republicans to vote no as well. But I would imagine the most he can do is just vote no along with his Democrat colleagues. I mean, I'm not sure what he was referring to when he said he would do everything possible, because when you're in the minority party, it really is up to the majority party, even when it's a slim majority like the U.S. Senate, to decide whether or not a piece of legislation moves forward. And the Republicans decided it would move forward. And by the way, it might not even go back through the Senate again.
Right.
If the House in the conference, they decide that it'd just be too difficult to go back through the Senate again because of that narrow victory, even though the House doesn't want to, I think they take that Senate bill up. They can in its entirety. They could vote on it. The votes are probably there in the House for that easily. And guess what? It goes right to the president's desk. Biggest tax reform since the 1980s in more than three decades. And then Cory Booker, your senator from New Jersey, a Democrat, can't do a darn thing about it.
All right. Back to the phones. Let's go to Jamie in Oklahoma on line five. And hey, if you want to call in, you can still potentially get on. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, guys, I got two things here. First is we donate to y'all for the very reason we are listening to you today. And I encourage everybody to donate to you because you have the same moral values and integrity that we stand for the Constitution, for our Bible, and we do not bend either to fit our lives, okay?
We appreciate your support.
Is Storzyk?
Yep.
Now, there's more of them in that group, and what I don't understand is why was he reassigned to HR and not given the boot?
Well, that's because you know what? I wrote about this in my book on Undemocratic. Do you know how difficult it is to fire a federal employee? I mean, it's unreal. It's like lifetime appointments. It's really not supposed to be, but it is because it's not merit-based. So signing someone to human resources, basically sending unless you are a human resources professional, it's assigning them out of harm's way, so to speak. But when you ask look, Jamie, it's the question you ask is a question we have to ask, and that is, what did this individual come up with? What did he know? What plans did he put in place, Jordan, as part of the investigation that were followed through, even though he was removed?
Yeah.
Because a lot of that can be tainted.
Because he was the lead.
Yeah.
So he was the lead FBI agent over with the special counsel who moved over from the FBI and moved over in the special counsel's office. He was also the lead FBI agent in charge of the Hillary Clinton investigation of the email server. So could his politics have come into play there as well in a different kind of way? I think all of that needs to be investigated now that he has been removed. We know he was removed for cause. He was removed because he sent text messages that were nasty about the president of the United States while he's in an investigation leading the FBI side of the investigation for the special counsel into this whole Russia collusion matter. And yet he's already showing his animosity towards the president of the United States. Could you have the reverse? When he was investigating Hillary Clinton, was he loving on the Clinton campaign and telling all his friends, oh, this is an investigation that's going nowhere and we're going to make sure Hillary Clinton's fine and that this doesn't hurt her?
I mean, Comey said that. I mean, yeah. Comey said 3 months out, we know where this is going. And he drafted his declination letter. So that's not any great shock to anybody. Yeah.
On this. He helped draft it. He actually helped draft that letter.
All right.
And statement.
All right. Can we grab the last call?
Sally, line one, you're on the air.
Hey, Sally.
Okay. Hi. Hey. I have a question about the documents that you got that are redacted.
Yep.
Is there a way to force them to give you the documents unredacted?
Yes, and we're doing that right now, and that means we're literally, and Jordan will update you on this, we're in federal court today. Filings going to federal court today to get those unredacted because they're abusing the redaction process because they don't want to tell us what happened.
Yeah, you're only supposed to redact and able to redact, obviously, classified information and discussions you were having called the deliberative privilege when you were deliberating on actual policy, actual legislation, actual plans, not talking points. Talking points would not be covered usually by the deliberative privilege. That privilege covers when you're deciding, you know, what to do on a policy, what to do on a piece of legislation, what kind of action to take, the back and forth there. Of course, that is protected. And of course, classified information. Talking points, which is what a lot of this is that's redacted, does not fall under those classifications. So you've got to go back to court and say, come on, Department of Justice or FBI, you know you don't have the privilege here to redact this much, this sweepingly. So go back at it. And of course, the first time around, they redact as much as they can, and they try to see if you're going to push them on it. And this time, we are going to push them on it. And we already have started that process with DOJ. We will with the FBI as well.
Don't forget our matching challenge campaign, folks. We are now into December. This is the last month. So any match you donate, we get a matching gift for. December is traditionally our biggest month of the year. ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. We encourage you to do that. And for our friends on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to play a song for you from the Jay Sekulow Band. When we're done, we'll talk about that in a minute.
That's right. And if you don't get that, you can obviously still log over and watch that. But regardless, join us each and every day. Also at ACLJ.org, updating throughout the day on social media. Make sure to follow all of us on Twitter and on Facebook. Twitter at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, Thane Bennett, and the ACLJ. Download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store and on the Roku Channel Marketplace. And subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live Podcast. We'll talk to you.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.